Church, that brings us all the way up to today's objective, to turn our commitment into concrete action. We must bring. We must bring. The subtitle for today's message is A Mighty Long Way. A Mighty Long Way. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. If we're going to turn our commitment into concrete action, we must bring. What does that word bring mean? Bring means to lead, guide, and direct. It means to lead, guide, and direct. Bring also means to shepherd. To shepherd. And bring means to cause someone to come to a place. Bring means to lead, guide, and direct. It means to shepherd. And it means to cause someone to come to a place. Church, we have a responsibility to bring people. We must lead, guide, and direct people from the place that they are to the place that they need to be. We must lead, guide, and direct people from the place that they are to the place that they need to be. See, we have to see the process. First, we have to see the opportunity. Then we have to be motivated by love. Once we have the right mindset and the right heart condition, then we must pursue the lost. And once we pursue the lost, then we must make the gospel plain. But that's not where things end, because there's still a greater work that must be done. You might say, well, Pastor, I know we have to bring them to church and get them to the altar. And you are correct. But that's not where the work ends either, because that's not where things ended with us. Amen. See, we left the altar saved, but our life was still a wreck. We needed help with a whole lot of things. Once we put our hands down and said amen, there were a lot of things that need to be worked out in our lives. There were many things that needed to change in our lives. So many things that we didn't even know where to begin. When we put down our hands after saying a prayer, there were things that we just couldn't figure out. What does this all mean? What did I just do? Where do I go from here? See, we needed a whole lot of help. We needed to change our thinking. We needed to change our behavior. We needed to change our associations. We needed to change how we talked and how we dressed. There were all these things that we needed to change. There was all kinds of mess that we were in, that we were walking back into. But we were not without help. See, when we left the altar, God surrounded us with mature Christians who took it upon themselves, who made it their responsibility to help us mature. They made it their responsibility to help us grow. They encouraged us to come to church. They called us when we didn't show up. They asked us what was going on in our lives. They made it their business to help us mature. They talked to us about the new life that we had. They constantly reminded us of who we are. You don't do that because that's not who you are. You don't say that because that's not who you are. They were constantly there to remind us that we were new creatures in Christ. They walked with us and they put up with us, even though we were rough around the edges. They put up with us and they shared their experiences with us to give us a little bit of wisdom, to help us learn how to think and make decisions. They taught us how to take the word of God and apply it to our lives. They encouraged us to get active and involved in the life of the church. Even when we were afraid, they said, no, use your gifts, use your talents, use your abilities. God has need of you. Some of them just spent time with us. And it was because of their presence in our lives that we had hope. We had a hope that one day we would be like them. Church, God surrounded us with mature Christians. Those Christians made it their business to help us grow. They did all that they did. Why? To bring us to a place of maturity. They did it to bring us where they were. That's what they did. Church, we have a responsibility to bring the lost and the hurting from where they are now to where we are. That's why we have to love biblically. Because it's one thing to witness to the lost. It's one thing to witness to a person who is hurting. But it's something entirely different to help them grow spiritually. Amen. That takes a different level of commitment. Amen. See, church, I have come to learn and understand that we love the altar call way too much. Pastor, what in the world are you saying? That is just scandalous. What do you mean we love the altar call too much? I thought the most important thing was the altar call. I thought the most important thing was to get people to come to the altar. You're absolutely right. But in these wicked and perilous times, there's a great work that must be done after people leave the altar. There's a work that needs to be done when they go back and sit in their seat. See, people need help. We are living in a world where people are not only lost. Yeah. We are living in a world where people have been neglected and abandoned. Yeah. There are people who don't know how to live. We can't expect people to come to an altar, lift up their hands and pray, and immediately become spiritually minded like we are. Amen. We can't expect people to come to an altar, lift up their hands and pray, and immediately be where we are. Amen. It took a long time for us to get to the place we are. Amen. It took a long time for us to get that cussing out of our mouth. It took a long time for us to put down that ungodliness that we were watching. It took a long time for us to be perfected in the things of God. People have no idea how to live. Amen. We have a responsibility to help them grow. And to do for them what someone did for us. Amen. At my lowest point. Amen. At my weakest point. Someone put me on their spiritual back. Yes. And carried me until I was at the place that I needed to be. Church, we can't get caught up in measuring our success by the altar. Yes. Counting and measuring. Adding and adding. Counting makes us feel good. Look at all the people who've come to the altar at our church. Look at all the great spiritual work that's happening at our church. Look at all the people who have gotten saved at our church. But when you look more closely, we must ask the question, exactly what are we accomplishing? What are we accomplishing? Have we become an altar factory? An altar factory. Get them to the altar. Lift up your hands. Pray. Check. You're done. Go sit down. My job is done. An altar factory. Have we become that? Because the only thing that being an altar factory will do is make us feel good. See, we have had a lot of loved ones who have stood at this altar and confessed Jesus Christ. But how many of them are living like I'm living right now? We've had a lot of people come to the altar and confess Christ. But how many of them are living the way God intends for them to live? How many people are committed to the things of God after they leave the altar? Or how many of them have we watched walk out that door to never come back? Church, if they left the altar, but their life didn't change. What exactly did we accomplish as a church? Amen. See, we have to bring what is happening to people after they leave our altar. And is the altar reflected in the life of the church? What do you mean by that, Pastor? The number of people who come to the altar, is it reflected in the life of the church? Do they leave the altar and go to the pew? Do they leave the pew and go into ministry? Do they go into ministry and work their ministry? Do they work their ministry and become leaders in the church? Do they become leaders in the church and lead other people to Christ? Is what is happening at the altar reflected in the life of the church? What are we accomplishing? Are we walking with people after they give their lives to Christ? Are we growing somebody else up in the faith like somebody grew us up? Are we trying to help someone become like me? See, if you are a committed husband, are you making another man a committed husband? If you are a virtuous woman, are you making another woman virtuous? If you are a godly youth, are you influencing other youth to be godly? What is it that we are accomplishing? See, we cannot accomplish what God wants us to do unless we bring, unless we help people come from where they are to where we are, unless we get people to come from the place that they are to the place of maturity that God has brought us. Am I making other people in the church like me? Can I look around and see people and say they're like they are because I have walked with them in their life? Or do I want to be the only me in church? Do I want to be the only, am I satisfied being the only me? You know, that's how great churches fade. And that's how good churches die. People in the church are happy being the only me. They forget about the responsibility to reproduce themselves. And so they are happy just being the only one. And the church becomes filled with irreplaceable people. But the problem is when you have a church of irreplaceable people, when those people go home to be with the Lord, the church dies. Church, we need to hear this and understand it. Because God did not save us to kill the church. God didn't save us to kill the church. He didn't give us new life to kill the church. God is calling us to raise our level of commitment to the lost and to the hurting. He's calling us to bring them from where they are to where we are. We have to see the altar as the beginning and not the end. Let's look at Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we're going to look at the first seven verses, but we're going to start with verses 1 and 2. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. It's speaking of Jesus. The sinners were coming to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. These religious leaders are angry at the attention that Jesus is given to the especially wicked sinners who are coming his way. They say, look at what Jesus is doing. He receives these sinners, and he even eats with them. In other words, he is giving these sinners access to him. He's allowing them to come into a relationship with him. Why in the world would he do such a thing? Jesus responds to these self-righteous religious leaders by telling them a parable. Let's read verses 3 through 6. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Look at what Jesus is revealing in this parable. He reveals two things, his attitude toward the lost and his approach. His attitude toward the lost was that they needed help, because he compares the lost